Okay, ready? Smooth. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis, has a machlokas Rav and Shmuel about nosing tam bar nosing tam, a secondary transfer of taste. And Rav says it is asur, Shmuel says it's mutter. The Gemara there brings a proof that we hold like Shmuel that it is mutter. What do we mean by a secondary transfer of taste? So says the Chaber. Says the Mechaber, Siman Sad, hey, Dogim Shinis Bashlu O Shinitzlu Bikdir Shal Basar, Rechutza Yafeh, fish that were cooked or grilled in a flaking pot that was washed well, She'ein Shum Shuma Dogim, and had no shpleishik shmutz on it. Motzal achlam b'chud with kutach. You're allowed to eat them with a kutach, the sour cream dip with milk. Mishum dahavi no sintam or no sintam de teira, because it's a transfer of taste from a transfer of taste of heter. Okay, so what does the Machaber say? Machaber says we paskin. I mean, this is clear. We'll get into base to where it gets a little more complicated. But the basic yisod is that we paskin not bar not is mutter. What do we mean by? Sorry. By not or not, we have a kedera of basar. What does a kedera of basar mean? It means you cooked meat in it, right? So this kedera is a not. That's a nosing tam. Then when you cook the dugim are not bar not. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The dugim are not bar not, and therefore the dugim are pariv, and you're allowed to eat them with milk, with kuta. That's the principle of not bar not. The The Mechaber points out here that it's obvious, even though it doesn't say this anywhere in the sugya of not bar not, but it's obvious that the kula of not bar not only applies to hetera, does not apply to isura. For example, this is a not bar not de hetera, as opposed to if you had chazir, you had a treif pot. Everyone knows if you cook food in a treif pot, it's treif. Why? Because this is a not bar not the isura. That's before it's all over shas. If you cook in a treif pot, it's treif.
What's the concept of ben yomo?
What?
The concept of ben yomo?
Yeah, we're talking about it's all ben yomo. Yeah. Or another example of not bar not de isura is, let's say you have basar and you have a fleshy pot, and then you cook chalav in it. That's before it's all over shas that it's treif. Why? The taste of the basar and the chalav is only a not bar not, because it is a not bar not de isura. I know you could find another way of explaining that one as well if you so desired. The truth is that what is the svara for the heter of not bar not? So the Yamshel Shlomo says something very peculiar that no one holds like. The Yamshel Shlomo says the svara of, all right, this example is not a word. The svara of not bar not is that you probably can't taste it. You probably can't taste it. So when something is a cheskes heter, you probably can't taste it. After all, you cook fish in a flaking pot. You think you're really going to taste the fish? You're really going to be able to taste the meat of the fish? Now, once the time transfers twice, it gets very weak. Now, if it would be Isser, he would admit that we wouldn't, that we'd have a Cheskes Isser, so we wouldn't necessarily be so Mekel. But certainly over here, okay, Beheter, we can assume that the taste got very weak and you can't taste it. That's the Yamshel Shlomo. However, that is not mainstream at all. The mainstream understanding of all the Rishonim and Achronim is, even though you can taste ta'am basar, that's the chiddush. The chiddush isn't that min astam or mekel to say that it won't taste fleishik. No, even if it does taste fleishik. Again, don't imagine our modern day kitchens, etc., right? Imagine the kitchen in the time of Chazal, you had unglazed earthenware, you cook meatballs in it, it's mamish full of meat taste, and then you cook fish in it, and the fish taka do taste fleishik. There's something funny about the taste of these fish. Nonetheless, it's parv. Why is it parv nonetheless? So here there's a bit of machlokes in the Ramban and the Ran. Maybe we will stick with the Ran. Says the Ran. Maybe we'll mention both. But we normally select the Ran. Says the Ran. Because a second taste is a weak taste. A second taste is a weak taste. Right? Because not bar not is a tam kolosh, it's a weak taste, and so what? And a tam kolosh cannot create, let's say, an isser. If it was not barnat de isura, then fine. Even tam kolosh and isser is still usser. But here it's a not barnat de hetera. A second taste is a tam kolosh, and a tam kolosh, a not barnat de hetera, a tam kolosh cannot become usser. Tam kolosh can stay usser, but it can't become usser. Therefore, what's with these dog? And they have a tam buster, a tam kolosh and buster. Tam kolosh and buster cannot become buster b'chalav. You can't create an isser based on a tam kolosh.
So if it can't become usser, why is it that you can only eat it with cheese? Why can't it be actually cheese itself? Like, why can't you cook cheese in that same exact pot? It seems to say that you can eat the fish and the egg with cheese, but you can't actually, if you were to cook
You cheese, clearly cannot cook cheese in that
right,
pot.
Right.
Okay, that is a good question. That's what I have here on the board. So the... There are two reasons. Number one is, here it's going to be a little, why is this usher?
Right.
So this is taka, a bit of machlokas. I explained it around. Some people say because in a chanami, the milk is not really the problem. Because the milk only is tam kolosh of usher. But the pot now has a strong taste of meat and a strong taste of milk. The pot has a first transfer of meat and a first transfer of milk. And once the pot becomes treif, now it's isser. And now any transfer of isser will make the milk usser. The Ran says a little differently. The Ran says, when do we say a tam kolosh can't be usser? When first it's a tam kolosh, beheter, and then something happens to make it usser. Like if you have a tam kolosh, then it can't become usser. But over here, it became usser while it was originally coming out of the kedera, right? It goes into the cholov. So yes, this taste of meat goes into the chalav, but since it immediately goes into chalav, that's considered not bar not the isura before it has a chance to be weakened. It's already usser. That's what the Ran says.
I thought maybe I misunderstood. I thought Isaac was asking about cooking that fish with cheese to cook the fish, not just to eat it with.
Is that what you were asking?
I was even taking a step further. I mean, even cooking cheese in that pot, because according to what we were saying, it can't create an issue in the first place. So why would then there be any problem of the tom transferring from the pot back into this item, even in theory?
Are you allowed to cook?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
So.
That's what I want to
do. Okay.
Now, what is the We normally don't eat fish and meat together.
We're not up to that yet. We'll get to that.
Okay. So this is obviously not a problem for the...
Correct. But hold that thought for a moment.
Let's just first get the basic idea of nafarnat. And here I'll explain.
Okay. What's a little tricky, but I might as well bring you Ramban. Also, says the Ramban says nafarnat is a strong tam. But when you mix the dugin with milk, the tam that goes into the milk is a not. Barnat, which is too weak to cat.
This is a very fundamental machlokes, though they're very theoretical, between the Ramban and the Ran. Let me just illustrate again. I know I'm a little stuck with you. I'll try to do it again. The way the Ramban looks at it is, the way the Ramban looks at it is basar to kdeira to dugin to kutach. This is a not barnat of basar in the kutach, which doesn't count. He really looks at it as when you do mix it with kutach, it will be a third knot, and that won't count. A third knot doesn't count. The Ran looks at it differently, and we normally assume, most people assume like the Ran. How does the Ran look at it? Basar to kedera to dugim. Dugim have a not barnat dehetera of basar, which cannot become usher. Once you have nafarnat dehetera, that is a weak time of heter. A weak time of heter can't make an isser. A weak time of heter can't make an isser, says the Ran. If you ask, what about this case? Let's go back to these cases. Why is this usher? Why is this usher for the Ran? After all, it's the second case. The Ran says, because even a tam kolosh can stay usher. There's momentum. If it's already usher, even tam kolosh can stay usher. So since chazer was already usher, even tam kolosh can stay usher. This case, the Ran deals with explicitly, says the Ran, that since it is not mutter before it gets weakened by being absorbed in the chalav, it's already not barnat yisura. That's the chiddush of the Ran, very important. This is called not barnat yisura. Why, says the Ran, it's a chiddush. It's actually becoming weakened and becoming usher at the same time, right? It gets weakened by the transferring and being diluted in the chalav, and becomes usher by mixing with the chalav. Says the Ran, when it's exactly the same time, that's called not barnat yisura as mechadish Ran. When it's exactly the same time, that's called not barnat yisura, because it's only not barnat yisura if it's mutter, and then it becomes weakened. If it becomes usher as it becomes weakened, then it's already usher and it's too late.
Isn't that the whole concept of Eino Benyomo? In fact, when you have something on a theoretical level, you can have meat in the pot, which is considerably good, but then the fact that it's coming...
No, benyomo is different. Benyomo means it's not shvach, it's b'gam. It's qualitatively a bad taste. Here we're talking just it's quantitatively weaker. Weaker is different than lefgam. Okay, I know there's a funny draw about this, we're not going to get into that. Lefgam means it used to taste good, now it tastes bad. That's different. If something tastes bad, it's not treif.
Right.
Here we're talking about it still tastes good. It's all benyomo. It still tastes good. It's just weakened by being transferred and diluted into something else.
Two questions. According to the Ramban,
one to worry that the dagim become iser?
Because the Ramban thinks that it's only chalos bas b'chola, bein midaraisa, bein drabanan, if it's bidirectional.
And according to the Marashal, why in the treif we don't say let's push the time on?
It's not 100% clear, but it could be because when there's Cheskas Isser, so we have to assume we might be able to taste something. When it's Cheskas Hefer, maybe we assume we can't. Okay. Lemaisa, let's just go back for a second. We hold like the... we, at least Sfardim so far, right? Hold like the Ran. We hold like the Ran. So that's the derech that most people talk about it. So this is the way we look at it. Basar Kleir is one knot, Kleir and Dugan is the second knot. Now it's not per knot de Tera. Not per knot de Tera is part of why? Because a knot per knot, once it's a knot per knot that's mutter, cannot become usher. It's not strong enough to become usher. So that's an interesting question. It sounds in most places like the Ramban would even be mekel an apronat the Isura if it was a third transfer. Just that's not usually the case we have in Shas. Like for the Ramban, it's obvious, right? I know I shouldn't have hinted, I shouldn't have said it, but not. For the Ramban, it's Pasha why it's Asur. For the Ramban, it's only two transfers. So it's obviously Asur. The Ramban actually doesn't have to be mechalik in hetera and isura, but we paskin like the Ran. Okay, so we paskin like the Ran. That you see this in the Shulchan Aruch. What's lashon Shulchan Aruch? Mishum dehavi not bar not de hetera, right? Because his lashon is not 100% clear, but it certainly sounds like. Because the fish are not bar not tehetera, that's what we paskin. Whenever you have a second transfer of taste and it's still mutter, that is doesn't count for anything. That disappears because a second transfer that's mutter cannot create any halachic problems. Second transfer that's usher stays halachically problematic. Second transfer that's mutter is fine. So basically, this is what's called OUDE, or I don't think they have this, and I don't think they ever had this OUME. They don't have OUDE anymore, but they have OKDE. Dairy equipment, meat equipment is parif. Something's made in meat equipment, you could eat it. Isaac and Alex could eat it with milk. Something is made on dairy equipment, you could eat it with schnitzel. Even if it was ben yomo, here we're talking about there was a pot that was just used 5 minutes ago. Because of not. Now the mechaber here brings in Alex brought up a side problem here. What was the side problem Alex brought up? He says, hold on a second. Dagim and basar, forget the halacha. Isn't it sakana to mix fish to mix fish and meat, right? What does he say at the end? He says, if there's a lot of meat fat, then it's usher because of basar mechalov. Hold on, isn't sakana to have meat with fish with meat? So says the Taz in Sivkat and Gimel. Of course, it's sakana to have fish with meat. Of course, you're not allowed to eat fish with meat because of sakana. What we mean is that if you actually cook fish with meat, it's sakana and fleishik. If you only cook fish in a meat pot, then it's not sakana and parif. So what he says is basically, like, what does Machaber say at the end here? What does he say? Im yesh v'im lo yisur b'chutz yafeh, if it was a dirty pot, im yesh b'mam ashal p'nei k'dir yos mech v'shishim, and the shmutz on the k'dir is more than a 60th, asol ochlam be'kutach. Let us contrast the clean pot to a dirty pot. So hold on for a second. Here is the case of a dirty pot. If we have a dirty pot, right? Then a dirty pot and the dirt is more than a 60th. If the dirt on the pot is less than a 60th. But if we have a dirty pot and the dirt is more than a 60th, then what do we have? What number transfer of the dug in if you cook them in a dirty pot which has meat schmaltz that's more than a 60th of the pot?
Not.
Exactly. This is a not rishon. Why? Because forget about the pot. It got tom from the leftover meat in the pot. So then obviously it is fleishik equals fleishik. So now ask the Taz two questions. He says, hold on. Before we get to the Taz,
What does the Mechaber say here? There's three cases. There's a clean pot. There's a dirty pot. A clean pot is okay. Or dirty, but the dirt is batel b'shishim, right? If it's a little dirty and the dirt is batel b'shishim, that's okay, because then it doesn't count. So there's a clean pot, a pot that's dirty but batel b'shishim, and a dirty pot, and the dirt is more than a 60th. Well, what if you don't know? What's the stam case? What's the stam case? So this is dealt with by the Nosa Kalim, says the Shachans Ben Aleph, a stam pot you cook with is clean. If you don't know, we assume a pot you cook with is clean. The reason I say cook with is because, as opposed to Siv Gimel, a pot you wash in the sink, min hastam, is dirty. Obviously, that's why you're washing in the sink. Right? So in a dishwasher, you have to assume your stam kelim are dirty. But when you cook, you assume stam people cook in a clean pot. Not only that, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in the first Rabbi Akiva Eiger, according to Minchas Yaakov, even if you notice the pot was a drop dirty, a stam pot that you cook with, even if it's a little dirty, the dirt is less than a 60th. Because most people don't cook in pots with a lot of dirt left on them. So even if you're not such a great housekeeper, you missed a little dirt, you can assume it's less than a 60th. So therefore, stam case, we assume it's a clean pot. Stam case, even if you notice a little dirt, we don't assume there was maybe there used to be a lot of dirt originally. Maybe when you cooked there was a lot of dirt. No, min hastam, there's only a little dirt. So therefore, min hastam, if you're in Isaac or Alex's house, anyone else want to join that list? Okay. What?
Halavai.
Halavai Misa, not Elo.
What do you mean? We get to say Sparty Slicho over
now. But he's saying very well. Anyway, in Isaac and Alex's house, which we read so far in the Mechaber, in if I cook anything in a fleshic pot, it's pyrav. If I cook anything in a milk pot, it's pyrav. Min hastam, unless you really know for a fact that it was dirty and very dirty. Okay, ask the Taz, what about sakana here? Hold on, if it's a dirty pot, dirt is more than a 60th, that means you have more than a 60th meat mixed with your fish. If you have more than a 60th meat mixed with your fish, isn't that also because of sakana? When you inflation, you shouldn't eat it at all. It's treif. So, add the Taz, and Aser Mishum Sakana. Just, it wasn't the main point here, so like, we didn't bother to bring that in. Like, the main point was not Bar Nacht. This is like a side point. So Taka, when he says Aser Lachem Lekuta, he really means it's Aser Mishum at all because of Sakana. Okay, but what about the main point? Clearly, in a side point, you could say it's Lav Davka. When he says Aser Lachem Lekuta, his fleishik, he really meant it's also achlam kudach we did basr mechalav, but it's also eat them at all we did sakana. How about the main point? If you cook them in a fleshic pot, he said you can eat it with milchik. There clearly it means you can actually eat it. So what does this prove? Says the Taz. Says, and there's no sakana in blias kalim. What does this prove? This proves that, what did he say? He said you actually can eat this with milk. Clearly, it's not sakana. He says you can eat it with milk. So therefore, that shows that even though mixing fish and meat is sakana, that's only if you mix fish and meat the end. The blia of kalim mixing fish and meat is perfectly fine, is no shash with sakana. And even though the Taz quotes in the Isra Heter, he quotes a funny lashon. He says you could easily be misled. He says the Isra Heter wrote, "Techein kol davar shemishum pleitas kalim ein osur mibasul ledagim b'di'evet mishum sakana stavar acher." There's no iser b'dievet of sakana if you cook fish in a meat pot or meat in a fish pot. You might think it's only mustard butcher b'dievet. However, if you look in the iser heter inside, he says b'dievet is no problem. V'af l'chachila mutter. That's the continuation of the sentence. It says mutter b'dievet, even mutter l'chachila. Almost all the poskim in the world say not only b'dievet, totally mutter l'chachila. If you want to cook fish in a fleshic pot, no problem. The sakana is only mixing the end. There's no problem cooking fish in a fleshic pot. There is a minority shita, minority minhag, that some people won't cook fish in a fleshic pot, but that is not the mainstream halacha.
We learned this before.
About sakana?
Fish in basar?
No.
So we learned fish in halal.
Oh, yes. We learned that the Beis Yosef asers fish with milk, according to me, because he mistakenly meant to write the asers fish with meat. Right? That's what Rama says. But everyone agrees fish with meat is sakana. The question is just when the Beis Yosef wrote fish with milk, was he just writing the wrong word or did he really mean it? But everyone knows fish with meat is also mishum sakana. That's a Gemara in Pesachim, daf ayin vav, right? That there's a case of someone who roasted fish with meat and they said not only is it usher to eat with kutach, it's usher to eat even plain because it's kasha for riach pen davar acher, which the Rishonim understood to mean that it gives you tzara, that it's kasha for tzaras, which means that it might be sakana. Okay, we're not getting into all these Torah Madra controversies. The Magen Avraham suggests that maybe the things that are usher, mishum, sakana in the time of the Gemara don't apply anymore because we live in different times and our circumstances are different. Why the Maisa, the Minhag Yisrael, is still to separate fish and meat.
Why should we have to pick this one thing when there are 25 things in the Gemara that talk about sakana we don't pay any attention to? Why dafka this one?
That's an excellent question. The answer is because the minhag is to be makbid on this one, so I guess someone thought over the generations that maybe this one still applied.
I think there is a reason according to Kabbalah.
Okay.
I always thought it was a practical reason, because you might think that your fish is meat, you might choke on the butter.
Yeah, that's what all the rationalists say to like give a rational explanation. I forget who, it's like 100 years ago someone wanted to give a rational explanation. What's so sakana about, because the original case was fish that was roasted with meat, that the fish gets to smell the meat, and if the fish smells like meat, you'll just swallow it, you'll think it's a piece of meat, and you won't know there are bones inside, and you'll choke and die, chas v'shalom. That's the way to rationalize it. I think it's traditionally been understood as either something about health that we don't know about, or something alpisod that we don't fully understand. Lamaisa, you know, one could argue till you're blue in the face as to why and whether it's a sakana to eat fish with meat. The Minhag Yisrael, every place I've been, is not to eat, even Ashkenazim, is not to eat fish with meat. The Chiddush here is that we see that fish and meat have to be separated, but the kalim are no problem.
I just want to clarify. According to those Ashkenaz, you can eat milk and fish, you can eat milk and fish and meat.
Correct.
And by Sfarad, both of those?
Correct. They don't eat fish with anything.
Just a question. The Gemara was talking about a case of kutach. Isn't that salty? Isn't like a davar chori? It doesn't fall in that category of something that's salty or like strong. Like it's spoiled cheese, you know?
Okay, even if it is, it won't make a difference. I'll explain that in a moment. I assume you're asking based on sif beis.
No.
Okay, so hold on. Who cares if it's salty?
Well, because it's really strong, and therefore we know that. It's able to, the tam by that thing is pervade. It's not weak. It's not.
We're not asking kutach is weak. We're saying the tam of the dogim is weak.
But isn't it going to. Okay, so it's only.
Okay, so you're asking based on some things that we haven't gotten to yet. Okay, and I'll let it do that. Okay, weiter. The Pesri Tshuva here in Sefkat and Aleph quotes two interesting machlokos, neither of which have a clear hachra. In the Achronim. Says the Pesachei Tshuva, what about the following interesting case? What if you have classic Naparnat is Ochel to Ochel, right? You cook meat in a pot, then you cook fish in a pot. You cook meat in the pot at 1 o'clock, and then you cook fish in the pot at 2 o'clock. That's classic Naparnat. That's what the Gemara discusses, that we pass in as mutter. What about the following case? What if it would have been Ochel to Ochel to clean? What about Ochel to Ochel to clean? What does that mean, for example? Let's say you make a recipe with milk or with melted cheese or something, you make. Here's a good example. They do this all the time in restaurants. I've never seen them do it in private homes, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. In restaurants, sometimes they, or hotels, they serve rice. Let's say it's a fleishig restaurant, they serve rice. They want the rice to taste good, so they put a little meat gravy in the rice.
So the rice tastes like meat gravy. So that rice is a ta'am of meat. And then you scoop the rice with a spoon out of the pot.
It doesn't only have ta'am, it has
mamashut. So, okay, hold that thought. So, for example, what if you have some, it could be milk or meat, of course, right? Milk or meat into the rice. Oh, sorry, that's not what I meant. And then at 2 o'clock, you spoon out the rice, right? Let's say you spoon out the rice in a kli rishon. Is that spoon now milchik or fleishik, or does it stay parif? Can you use the heter of not bar not here? Zev pointed out, why is this not so pashut? Because when food transfers, taste transfer from food to kalim, it's really just a few molecules of blios. When it goes from kalim to food, it's a few molecules of blios. When the gravy goes into the rice, the gravy itself all goes into the rice. Right? It's still all there. When the milk goes into the milk itself all goes into the rice. Maybe that doesn't count as a transfer of taste. Maybe the rice counts as meat, or the rice counts as milk. That's not a transfer. That still has the milk and meat inside it. That's what Zev is saying. Yes?
Less than a 60th degree?
No, that's it's more than a 60th.
It's more than a 60th.
So otherwise, you wouldn't taste it. Why would you bother to do it?
Yes, then why just well, it not be so it's still those sometimes and not for not going to the spoon then?
Well, why? Maybe the rice is a not and the spoon is a not bar not. Meat to rice is one transfer.
No, but the meat's still there. Maybe there's a transfer. The meat exists there, so the meat.
Okay. That's exactly the machlokas. That is a machlokas right here between the pre-megadim and the pnei aryeh. This is called not bar not be'ochel. Says the pre-megadim. Says the pre-megadim, this is considered meat, and this is considered a knot. Says the Pnei Aryeh, this is considered a knot, and the spoon is considered a knot bar knot, and your spoon is still parif. That's not locus between the pre-megadim and the Pnei Aryeh. Halacha l'maisa, we don't have a clear hakra, meaning we can't be makel stam. There's no clear hakra. The svara of the Pnei Aryeh is still the rice is rice. It's not meat. The svara of the pre-megadim is no, it really has the meat inside it. A pot doesn't really have the meat inside it. It just has a few molecules. This really has the meat and the gravy inside it. Okay, that is a machlokes. However, the Pnei Aryeh says even I, who am makel, I'm only makel when something gets totally absorbed in something. Like over here, you have rice and the gravy is totally absorbed in the rice. If you added gravy to vegetable soup, I wouldn't be makel. Because then liquids and liquids don't get absorbed. They just mix. If you pour milk into your coffee, then I'm not makel. That's not absorbed. Absorbed is only a liquid gets absorbed into a solid. That's when he's makel. But if you just mix two liquids, then even the Pnei Aryeh is not makel, and that's why he had a case. sorry. What was his case here? He said, if you put a lot of butter on rice, or in his case was barley, then even Pnei Aryeh is not makel. He says, because the butter probably doesn't get absorbed into the barley. A lot of the butter still stays not absorbed into the barley. Or he says, if you add milk to your soup, he's not makel, because the milk doesn't get absorbed in the soup, it mixes with the soup. He's only makel if, like, because in this case, in the rice, the meat disappeared. You can't see it anymore. It's gone. And that's why he considers that to be a knot. He considers that to be a weakening. Okay, this is a machlokas.
Chiluk is not between the bush. If you just give an example, we by the bush, the barley.
If it doesn't get absorbed inside it. The chiluk means getting absorbed inside something and not being absorbed inside something. That's the chiluk. Only if it's absorbed inside the milk. Not if... if it's absorbed inside.
Is it because we're saying that the meat gravy is mostly water?
No.
Why does the meat gravy get absorbed in, but the butter doesn't?
Oh, that was just the case, was that they put a lot of butter and it didn't get absorbed in.
It just
probably depends how much butter you put.
Oh, you're just saying it has to do with
that. That was the case he actually dealt with.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I'm trying to understand whether the prima donum thing I fundamentally argue is just for, if it's just this example. I have another example that maybe I'd like to share just to consider. So my mom makes chamin, which is like a starchy cholent. And what they do is they put in little bags, they put rice in a bag, they'll put chickpeas in a bag, and they'll cook it with the meat. But none of the actual meat is going in the rice, it's just the flavor of the meat that's going to the rice. So what would the prima donum say there?
The prima donum would say that that rice is meat. And therefore, let's take Isaac's house. His mother makes chamin. She takes out the bag of rice and puts it in a bowl. Prima donum say that bowl is now fleshen. That bowl is the first transfer. The rice is not a transfer. Food to food is not a transfer. The first transfer is rice to bowl.
What's the svara that the rice is in meat, actually? It's not rice?
Because the gravy comes out of the meat when you cook the chamin and goes into the rice. Food to food doesn't count as a transfer according to the Prima Donum. He really does argue the Pnei Aryeh. Now the Pnei Aryeh here, I might admit, has a clever kula here, which is a good kula to have up your sleeve. You want to hear his clever kula? His clever kula is there. They were making barley, and it was they put in 1/40 butter, and then they put a spoon in the barley. So he said, for sure, this barley absorbed from the butter, and now the spoon is not enough or not. This spoon is a first taste. But he said, the spoon doesn't only have butter in it, it also has barley in it. So therefore he said, even, let's say you have a soup, and you put a little milk in, 1/40 milk. And then you stir that soup with the spoon. So, everyone agrees, that spoon is a not rishon. That spoon becomes milchik. But how milchik? What do you think, it only absorbed the milk and not any of the other parts of the soup? It says milchik ufi cheshbon. It becomes 1/40 milchik. Why is that useful? If then you accidentally stir a fleshik stew with it, it won't make the fleshik stew's treif, because it only has a little milk inside it, not a lot of milk inside it. So that's the kula Pnei Aryeh. Says when you stir a soup that has a lot of ingredients, your spoon won't only absorb the meat and the milk, it'll absorb all the ingredients. So it'll only be partially milking or partially fleshik. So even though it's not rishon, it only has some milk in it, and therefore, if you then stir chicken soup with it, the chicken soup will be kosher. Okay, that's a cool hector of the fair.
Aren't we generally choshish for the maximum amount?
Yes, so his chiddush here is, even though we're choshish for the maximum amount, when things mix together, it absorbs all of them. It doesn't only absorb the problematic ingredient. It absorbs all of them. So let's take an example. My wife makes a soup sometimes. She puts in milk or something. I don't know. Maybe not milk, maybe something else. Whatever it is. Let's say you make a soup with 1/40 milk and you stir it with a spoon. That spoon doesn't only absorb the milk. It absorbs everything. So that spoon is only 1/40 milchik. Since the spoon is only 1/40 milchik, then if you then accidentally stir chicken soup, the small amount of milk is going to be bought the shishim in the chicken. So that's the kula of the Pnei Aryeh. It's a good kula.
Is this for a case where it's be'en? It's not absorbed?
He says this even in the case where it's be'en, which is chiddush. Okay, that's the first machlokas. Not bar not ba'ochel. There's another machlokas, which the name of this machlokas is a little misleading. You're not going to understand it based on the name. You have to just understand it based on the case, which is called not bar not b'shas bishon. What's this other machlokas? This is called not bar not b'shas bishul. What's the case of not bar not b'shas bishul? Ochel to kli to ochel. Meaning, it looks like it should be a good not bar not. What happens? A drop of milk lands on the outside of a pot, which is cooking vegetable soup. Right? Let's say it's a big drop of milk. It's, you know, more than a 60th. Right? I mean, we don't have to worry about any of those Hanan things because there's no basmati chazir. It's just milk and vegetable soup. But what makes this different from classic not bar not? Classic not bar not, first I cook milk in the pot, then I cook vegetable soup. That's par. Here, it's all happening at the same time. Basically, the vegetable soup is inside the pot, and the milk lands outside the pot.
it goes through the pot into the vegetable soup. But it's all happening at once. That's the Shas Bishul. It's all one time.
Isn't Tom Machlok is Shas Tash? What happens when it's connected to the Tavshil? Is it first in the Kder or it goes directly first into the Tavshil? According to the Taz, it goes directly into the Tavshil, so it's not. But according to the Shas, it goes into the Kder, maybe not right now?
No, they both admit that it might go straight into the Tavshil.
Right, but the Shas has that litza that it goes into the whole Kder for a different amount of Shas.
Okay, I hear. But I'm not. I'm not convinced. Lemaisa, this is a machlokas. Does it count as two steps if they happen simultaneously? So he quotes here the Chavos Da'a says that that is considered one step. That's usher. But Beis Ephraim says it is mutter. So here the Chavos Da'a says that this is one long transfer and it's considered a knot. But the Beis Ephraim says that no, the pot becomes the knot, and the vegetable soup becomes not par knot. So lemaisa, the Beis Ephraim would say the vegetable soup is parif, and the Chavos Da'a would say the vegetable soup is milchik. Okay,
so the soup is cooking in the pot, and you add the milk.
And the milk is on the outside of the pot.
Oh.
Right, otherwise the milk would just be in the soup.
Yeah.
The milk is on the outside of the pot, so it has to go through the pot. So it's two steps, milk into the pot, and then from the pot into the soup. But it's two steps at the same time. So does that count as two steps or one step? Could go either way. Chavos Da'a says one step, the Beis Ephraim says two steps.
What do you mean by that at the same time? You're saying because it's cooking still?
Yeah, meaning it's not like first I cook one thing, then the other. Right? The milk on the outside of the pot, even at the same time, is the milk lands on the outside of the pot and goes straight through the pot into the vegetable soup.
But I
just mean it's not a separate step. It's all one step. It's all one process. It's not like a normal case where I cooked milk this morning and I cook green beans this afternoon. Okay, so there's also machlokas, which we don't have a clear hachra about. Okay, so far we've got the halacha down pretty well, according to the mechaber. Now, let's complicate it. Well, let's read one more mechaber, and then we'll complicate it with the Rama. Says the mechaber, base. If you cook an egg in water, that's what we call hard-boiled eggs, in a milchik pot, so that's not bar not, right? Milk to pot is one transfer, pot to egg is two transfers, it's pirate. You can put it inside your chicken. They used to make stuffing and put eggs inside the chicken. So, just like if it was in meat equipment, you could eat it with kutach, if it's in milk equipment, you could eat it with chicken, no chesh. Afilu chachila, it's even mutter, totally lachachila. Avalo nitbash lo b'kdeira in basar, but if it was cooked in a kdeira with meat, not if it was cooked in a flesh pot. If it was cooked with meat, let's say you have eggs from the cholent, then that's a first transfer, right? The meat goes into the eggs. So, afil b'klipas lo chul b'kutach, it's fleshik, it's asri with kutach, isn't this obvious? Obviously, if you take the beans and the barley and the eggs from the cholent, that's a single transfer. The meat went straight into the beans and the barley and the eggs. Is it obvious they're milchik? The chiddusher is, even if the egg had a shell, you might think the egg shell keeps the meat taste out. Says the Rashba, no. We all know that egg shells are porous. How do we know egg shells are porous?
Cooked.
What? No, cooking is through heat.
Color.
Yeah, because it turns brown when you put it in the cholent, right? Why is it turned brown? Because all the gravy of the meat seeps into the eggs. Or that's how they is. So therefore, since the eggshell is porous, it doesn't protect the egg. Okay, the long discussion of exactly how porous it is, which is not important for us right now. Here we have, before we get to the Ramah, a big question mark. The Mechaber said here, afilu l'chachila, it's mutter even l'chachila. The Beis Yosef, he brought a machlokis between the smack and the Sefer HaTruma, whether not bar not is mutter l'chachila, or only b'di'evit. let's see what we mean by that. says the, here's what the Beis Yosef says, and here's where it gets a little tricky. Well.
Okay. Says the Sefer Truma. If you cook fish in a meat pot, it's mutter lechatchila to mix them with milk. Okay, without getting into fish and milk now, right? That's the Sefer Truma, says mutter lechatchila. Says the smak, no. Aser lechatchila levashel dogim. Bikdeira bisarit. In those days they said kdeira basar, but we say kdeira bisarit. Almenas leochlam bekutach. No, lechachila you cannot. This is only a heter b'dieved. Lechachila you cannot cook fish in a fleshy pot and then eat them with milk. So the Beis Yosef says there's a machlokas whether it's mutter lechachila or aser lechachila. And the Beis Yosef paskins it's machlokas whether it's mutter lechachila or aser lechachila. And what does he paskin here? He paskins mutter lechachila. Now, what's wrong with what I just said? What's illogical about what I just said, Zev?
There's really three stages of lechatchila.
Right. The Sefer HaTrum and the Smak are talking about two different things. There's three stages. What are the three questions? Number one, can I cook in a fleshik pot to eat with milk? Number two, once I cooked in a fleshik pot, can I mix it with milk? Number three, if I cooked in the fleshik pot and already mixed it with milk, can I eat it? So what Zev is pointing out is that this is a funny kind of machlokas. This is not a machlokas. They're talking about two different things. They're not really arguing.
Who learns them up as a machlokas?
The Beis Yosef right here. Say the Shach and Taz, says the Beis Yosef, it's a machlokas. Says the Shach and the Taz that there's no machlokas. There's two different kinds of lechatchilas. Once it's a not bar not, then it's mutter lechatchila le'achlo bekutach. You can lechatchila eat it with milk once it's a not bar not. And that everyone agrees. But it's aser to make it a not bar not lechatchila. There's really no machlokas in the smak in the Sefer Truma. Once you cook spaghetti in a fleshik pot, you're allowed to put cottage cheese on it lechachila. But if you know that you like to eat your spaghetti with cottage cheese, you shouldn't cook it in a fleshik pot lechachila. There's no steer at all.
There's also a fourth possibility I can think of is, let's say I had made the potatoes in a fleshik pot without the intentions of eating it with cheese initially, but then I'm eating Shabbos leftovers and I
want
to eat cheese now. So at the time when I was cooking I didn't have that intention, but now
when
those are already cooked, I would like to.
Right, and the Shachta say that's exactly what the Sefer Truma mattered. Once you cook potatoes in fleshy kalim and you have leftovers, you can put cheese on them. That's mutter lechachila. But that's not a steward of the smak. But it's also lechachila to make it in a fleshy kli if you knew that you were going to put cheese on them.
What if that's the only pot you have? Like, would he go so far as to say that you can't do that?
What if that's the only pot you have? Would you go so far as to say that it is?
According to his reasoning, that it's only b'dieved. Does that count as b'dieved, or that's not the?
So the Chacham Sadam says that if you can borrow a pot from the neighbor, then you should borrow a pot from the neighbor. But if not, then you can count that as b'dieved. Okay, this is accepted by the poskim. Ravadi questions this a little. He says maybe there's room for so much on Beis Yosef, but most poskim assume, like the Shach and the Taz, that there are two different levels of lechachila.
There's lechachila, once it's cooked in a meat pot, mixing with milk. That's mutter. Lechachila, once your potatoes are fleshing, to put cheese on them. Or once your potatoes are fleshed meat equipment, can you put cheese on them? Then mutter lechachila. But then starting a whole bowl rolling in the first place is asur lechachila. If you know that you're putting cheese on your potatoes, it's also lechachila to cook them in a fleshing pot. If you know you're eating your potatoes with cholent, or with schnitzel, or with chicken, then it's also lechachila to cook it in a milchik pot. That is what we normally assume, and I think even most Sfaradim hold that way, like the Shach and the Taz here. and basically what we're saying is that not bar not mutter le'achlo in kutach lechatila, but this is the lashon of the poskim, asur legrom not bar not lechatila. You can't make it into not bar not in the first place, lechatila. Once it's a not bar not, now lechatila is mutter. Again, we're still Alex and Isaac. But you can't make it not bar not in the first place, lechatila. That's what the poskim assume. Which means that if I'm cooking par of things, I can't just cook them however I want. I have to think about how I'm going to eat them. If I think I'm going to eat them with meat, I have to cook them in a milk, in a fleshing pot. If I think I'm going to eat them with cheese, I have to cook them in a milking pot.
And if you're making them for the week, you're saying, oh, I might eat them with cheese or meat, I don't know.
That is an excellent question. I think certainly the meaning nowadays that we're all rich is if I plan to eat them with both meat and milk, like I plan to eat half of it with meat and half of it with milk.
Or I'm just not even thinking about it. I'm just like saying, oh, I'm interested in potatoes. I might have them.
Then if you're not thinking about it, then you can cook them whatever you want. But then it's always a question, what if I want to make pasta so I can eat half of it tonight with cottage cheese and half of it tomorrow night with meat sauce? Then you should make it in a parv pot.
Is this a pasta that's here for truma?
The Beis Yosef Paskin like the Sefer Truma, yes. That's what it sounds like. It's not so clear in the Mechaber.
Okay.
Meaning the Mechaber is not doesn't explicitly say you can be Gorim Naparna Mechachila. That's what it sounds like for the Beis Yosef. But since the Mechaber didn't explicitly say he was Mechel Ligro Mechachila, that's why even a lot of Sfaradim are Machmer on it. He quoted the idea of the Sefer Truma. Okay. Now comes the Ramah. The Ramah all starts with a Rivan. Who is the Rivan? Who is the Rivan? What was his Yechus? What was the Rivan's Yechus? How? Rashi's son-in-law, exactly. As Tosa says, write an R so you have not burned that. Says Tosfos, B'shem Rashi Pirech Rivan Chasno, his son-in-law. The Rivan quoted his father-in-law. We don't have this in our Rashi. The Rivan claimed he quoted his father-in-law saying a diuk in the sugya. Let's go back to the sugya. What does the sugya say? The sugya does not say what the Mechaber says. What does the sugya say? The sugya says, Dagim sh'alu b'ka'ara Shalkutach. Right, where is this? Itmar, Dagim Sha'olu B'Ka'ara. Dagim Sha'olu B'Ka'ara. Fish that were ole, they came up out of the fire into a Ka'ara. So what does that sound like? How did these fish become fleshik? You took them off the barbecue and put them in a fleshik tray. What does the sugya not say explicitly? Fish that were. What does the sugya not say that the Mechaber does? Dagim sha'olu b'ka'ara shel basar. Didn't say it was cooked in a fleshik pot. It doesn't say it was roasted on a fleshik grill. It just says it was put on a fleshik tray. So the Rivan in the name of Rashi makes a deal. He says, this whole heter of not bar not is only when it's a wheat transfer. What's a wheat transfer? You take hot fish off the grill and put it on a fleshik tray. You're not cooking anything, right? You're putting hot fish on a cold tray. That's a wheat transfer. We're only making a not bar not when there's a wheat transfer. Like putting hot fish on a cold tray. But when there's a strong transfer, like cooking fish in a fleshik pot, that's considered like a tamid shul. That's the chiddush of the Rivan quoting his father-in-law. Meaning, what does the Rivan say? If you cook spaghetti in a fleshik pot, That's fleishik. That's not the kul of not bar not. The kul of not bar not is only if you cook spaghetti in a pyrrhic pot and then strain it in a fleishik strainer, fleishik colander. Then that's a weak transfer because you're straining hot spaghetti in a cold strainer, or you cook spaghetti in a pyrrhic pot and then take it out of the pot and put it in a meat bowl, in a meat serving bowl. That's a weak transfer. That's the Chiddush Rivat. So he basically eliminates most of the heter of not bar not. Because whenever you're actually cooking something in a fleishik kli or in a milchik kli, there's no heter of not bar not. That's a strong transfer. There's no heter of not bar not in strong transfers. That's the Chiddush of the Rivat. Okay, Tosos goes through. Can you bring Raya's for him? Can you bring Raya's against him? Etc. The Tosos does not have a clear hachra. Most Rishonim don't agree with Ravon. They say Aldo is lav davka. The example is Dogim Sha'olo Bekara. It just means anything which was made in meat equipment or dairy equipment is parf. How the Ravon obviously was Machmer. The Sefer HaTruma and the Rush seem to take a compromise. They distinguish between nitzlu and nispashlu, between roasting and cooking. Cooking in water, roasting without water, or baking without water. What they say is this. If you roasted or baked something in a fleishik pan, then it's fleishik. We machmer like the Rivan. But if you cooked something in a fleishik pot, then we can be more makel against the Rivan. Why? Because when you cook something, on the way from the pot to your food, it gets diluted in the water. Right, so therefore it's a little bit of a weaker transfer of time. So here we have three shitas. Let's just review the three shitas. Alu, Nispashlu, and Nitzlu. Say Rov Rishonim, Mutter. Meaning they're all parv. Don't make a diuk. Says the Rivan, Alu is Mutter. If you just put them on a fleishik plate, it's Mutter. That's a weak transfer. But if you actually cook them in a fleishik pot, then also Alu Mekudach, then they become fleishik. And says this is for true of the Rosh, a compromise. Alu is mutter, even this bashlu is mutter. Because even though you're really cooking it and there's a lot of heat, still the taste goes through the water, so it gets weakened. But nitzlu, if you bake bread on a fleishik pan, or you broil fish in a fleishik grill, then it's aser. How do we paskin? So that's who we are. The Mechaber says, like most Rishonim, no, it's all parf, no problem. Yes, Isaac.
According to Rivan, what's that fetish? Because isn't that just the case of where you put a hot piece of meat on a cold plate? Like she'alu.
So the chiddush is that even the kedik klipa is parf, or. His other chiddush is that even if you put cold fish on a hot plate, so you would think the whole thing should become fleishik, it's still parv. That's his chiddush, that if you put hot on cold, the kedei klipa is parv, which you might have thought was fleishik, and if you put cold on hot, it's all parv, which you might have thought was fleishik. But you're right, it's a much smaller chiddush.
Right.
Especially since the typical case is putting hot on cold,
right.
So the whole chiddush of not bar not is only for the kedei klipa. In the typical
but
case.
Isn't it worth specifying the klipa? If it really meant, okay. Yeah. The other question I had was, it seems like a fetish to say that nitzlu is aser and bashlu is mutter. Doesn't time transfer much more easily?
Doesn't time transfer more easily with bishul than with tzli?
Yeah.
It transfers more easily, but more weakly. More easily, but less strongly.
She has the water.
Right, because it gets diluted in the water. Okay, let's see. The Ramah says Ramah v'yesh machmir b'tzliu bishul lesser nosentam. That's Rivan. V'haminhag
What's the minig? Ashkenaz lesser lechatchila ubedievet mutter b'chol inyan. What is the minig? Ashkenaz lechatchila we aser na parnat, and b'di'eved we are mekel. Of course, he says a little later. He says, aval. I'll come back to this line. V'dafkum lechol im habas chol v'basar atzma aval litim klishla mutter lechatchila v'chein nagu v'chein im lo nisbash lo nitzlo tchila rak alu b'klishla basar mutter lechatchila im chol v'atzma v'chein lehefech. It was only Allah to mutter l'chachila. Only Allah. Of course Allah was mutter. That's the Gemara. So says the Ramah. The Ramah says l'chachila. We hold like the Rivan. But b'di'eved, we hold like the Rishon. So for the Ashkenazim in the room, l'chachila, if you made spaghetti in a fleishik ben yomo pat, or you made spaghetti, if you made spaghetti fleishik ben yomo pat, l'chachila, we consider that spaghetti fleishik. We do not put cheese on it. B'di'eved, if you already put cheese on it, you can eat it. L'chatchila, if you made potatoes in a fleishik pot, you should not melt cheese on them. B'di'eved, if you already melted cheese on them, you don't have to throw them in the garbage, you can eat them. So that's Ashkenazim. L'chatchila, treat them as fleishik or milchik, whatever they were cooked in. B'di'eved, if you already messed up, you don't have to throw them in the garbage and lose money, you can still eat them. But l'chachila were machmer.
Sorry, why are we saying in accordance to the Rivan that we would not say tatal gavar by this case?
We would say tatal gavar.
I thought if the bottom one's hot, then it's fine if the fish is cold.
Oh, because we'd say tatal gavar and the whole thing gets a tam. But it gets a weak tam, so it's a heter zaparnat. Okay, says the shach here in Sivkat Dalin, Umar Shalba, Ish Hedjlo, Sifro Perakala Basar, Smith Salah Gimel, Osar Filibidi Eve, Benitzlu Medina, Ayin Sham. Says the Marshal and the Shach. He's very machri. He says, even b'di'eved, we won't rely on Rav Rishonim. Even b'di'eved, we'll only rely on the Sefer Truma. This is a big chiddush. Says the Shach, even b'di'eved, if it's nitzlu, it's still usher. And then there's a big discussion of Pesachei Tshuva here in Sifkat Beis, exactly how to define the case of Nitzlu, exactly how to define the case of Nisbashlu. Like he says, for example, what if I cook vegetable soup in a fleshy pot? So even though it's Bishl, the soup is really called Nitzlu, because it doesn't get diluted anything else, it goes straight into the soup. And then he goes into all kinds of details. Halacha l'maisa, how do Ashkenazim paskin b'di'eved? Do we pass like the Ramah b'di'eved? Or do we pass like the Shach b'di'eved? So this is still somewhat controversial. The Pesachei Tshuva here quotes from the Chavos Das, who passed like the Shach b'di'eved. However, the Badei Shulchan quotes from most Achronim, who say b'di'eved, we follow the Ramah, not the Shach. And I think that's the minhag olam of Ashkenazim nowadays. That's the Chavos Adam Paskins, and the Menchus Yaakov, and the Brit Chodesh, and others. The Maisa, Ashkenazim, most Achronim pass like the Ramah, which means that the whole Pesachei Tshuva, Simchat and Beis, is not really necessary. Because you don't have to figure out the difference in Nitzlu and Nisbashlu with all this lumdus of what's considered Nitzlu, what's considered Nisbashlu. Because the minhag olam Ashkenazim is to follow the Ramah, l'chatchila we're always machmir, but b'di'eved, we're makel both on Nitzlu and on Nisbashlu. Now the Ramah just has a few more kulas. What does he say? He says, even though l'chachil amachmer like the Rivan, I have two kulas. Or he calls it three. But let's see his kulas. Let's start again from after b'di'eved mutter b'chol inyan. V'davki says lechol im chala v'abasar atzmo. When is he machmer l'chachil like the Rivan that you can't eat it with meat and milk itself? But to just put it in a kli of milk or meat, he admits, is mutter l'chachila v'chein nag. What's his kula? His kula is l'chachila. He's machmer in nisbashlu and nitzlu like the Rivan. But l'chachila, one second.
lechatchila, he says, you can't eat with milk.
But what if you just want to eat it on a milk and plate? Just want to eat it on milk and kalim? Then he says, he's not machmir lechatchila. He's only machmir lechatchila to eat with actual milk. Let's take just a classic example. Let's say I cook vegetable soup in a ben yomo fleshit pot. So if I'm Sephardi, I can eat that vegetable soup with milk. But if I'm Ashkenazi, lechatchila, I can't eat the vegetable soup with milk. However, I could still eat it on milchik dishes.
Right, that's the cool norma. I can't eat with milk, but I can eat with milchik dishes. Or eat it, I guess you would say, on
milchik dishes. Why? The source seems to be, this really comes from the Rush. The Rush says, because this is even weaker. Not only is it like meat to pot, pot to vegetable soup on this side, but the other side's also weaker. Not meat to pot to vegetable soup, and then mix with milk. Meat to pot to vegetable soup, and then mix with milk to bowl. So therefore, since it's a little weaker from the other side, he's machriya lahakel, this is based on the Rush. The Rush says, if the tam is a little weaker in the other direction, then you can be makel against the rivan. What's the second kula of the Ramah? If it was not cooked or roasted with a meat kli, it was just placed on a meat kli, then it's mutter l'chachila. That's obvious. Even the Rivan admits that alu is mutter. The Shachir points out a big chumra in Sivkatan Vav. He says, sorry. He says, what counts as alu? Alu, it means you put cold food on a hot kli or hot food on a cold kli. But if you put hot food on a hot kli, even off the fire, that's called nitzul and nispashlu. That's the chumr of the shach. Now, that's not a common thing to do, obviously. But let's say, what does he mean? Let's say I am cooking with a meat pot and I take it off the fire and it's burning hot. And then, at the same time, I cooked pyro spaghetti, and it's burning hot. And I put the hot spaghetti in the hot meat pot. That's called nitzlu, or if it's with water, that's called nispashlu, and not olu. Okay, it's a rare case. But he says, the chumr, the shach is, even if there's no fire, if both the kli and the food are hot, that's called nitzlu and nispashlu. It's only called olu if you have a hot food and a cold kli, or a cold food and a hot kli. Continuing. Ramah v'chein, here's where it comes more halacha l'maisa. So if we would stop now in the Ramah, what would we think? All of us Ashkenazim. Anything cooked in a fleshik pot is fleshik. Anything cooked in a milchik pot is milchik, right? We don't have a heter not for not except for olam, which is a relatively uncommon case. But says the Ramah, v'chein m'haya klishin espashlo nisbo lefgam shlo yaben yomo nogin heter l'chachilo achlan amina sheni. Third kula of Ramah. Again, the first kula was b'klishalahem. The second kula was olu. That's obvious. Everyone's making one olu. And the third kula is that this is all, everything until now is talking about a ben yomo fleshik pot, which is a tam l'shvach. But what if most of our typical pots nowadays is ain't a ben yomo? Right? What if you cook vegetable soup in a fleshik pot and it hasn't been used for 24 hours? If it's ain't a ben yomo, then you can be makel and you can consider this vegetable soup parif.
And eat it with
cheese. Meat, whichever one was, yeah. Like, for example, let's say I cook a vegetable soup in an ain't a ben yomo fleshik pot. I can then put cheese in the melt cheese into the vegetable soup. It's totally parif. Not only can I eat the vegetable soup in a milchik bowl, that I could do even if it was a ben yomo pot, I could even add cheese to it. but you can't eat on milchik dishes. And if you have a case of Nisbashlu or Nitzlu Bikli She'eino Ben Yomo, then everyone agrees that's mutter, because forget about not for not, it's mutter because it's a exactly. It's mutter because it's nosin tam lefgam. Now here's an interesting discussion. Do we rely on nosin tam lefgam even lechachila? Meaning,
Why not just say no? L'chadchila, won't rely on nosin tam lefgam. This is a big discussion in the post, which we'll get to. Can you rely on nosin tam lefgam l'chadchila? Or maybe you should say, hold on, I can eat this vegetable soup without cheese. It's not like it was treif, then it's already b'dieved. Right, let's say it was a treif pot that's ein ben yomo. So, okay, I'm stuck. I cook this vegetable soup in ein ben yomo fleishing pot. I would say, tam lefgam. Can I rely on that l'chadchila? Maybe l'chadchila eat the vegetable soup without cheese. So explain the poskim, no. Even if you hold tam l'gam, you shouldn't rely on l'chadchila. And even though the Ramah says, no, not bar not, you shouldn't rely on l'chadchila. Over here, it's not bar not and no sin tam l'gam. If it's not bar not and no sin tam l'gam, for sure that's what you even l'chadchila. well, the gra here a little. Although, we'll get to it when we get to no sin tam l'gam. So much of l'kuli alma, because it's not bar not, and no sing tam lifgam. So that's what you eat l'achila. So in the typical case in modern day kitchens, let's say typical case in modern day kitchens, you cook spaghetti in a fleishig pot, and you have leftovers. So probably that fleishig pot wasn't ben yomo. If the fleishig pot wasn't ben yomo, you can take that spaghetti and melt cheese onto it and put it in the microwave with cheese. Even l'achila.
So what we're saying is that the Rabbanon only goes there in Ben Yomo when it was not bar not? Because isn't Zer the Rabbanon?
Okay, well, hold that thought. Maybe the Zer of Ben Yomo is only on Isura when there's no not bar not, not on Hetera. Right? Not so crazy.
We say that Stam Kalim are in Ben Yomo for Nasher?
Yes, we say that Stam Kalim are in Ben Yomo.
Who said that?
No one we've seen yet, but it's explicit in the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Kuf Chaf Beis Sif Hei, I believe.
And Ashkenaz is also possible with that.
Yeah. Now, of course, that's Stam. If you know it's Ben Yomo, that's different.
Yeah.
Usually in modern day kitchens, you know. You don't have to rely on Stam. But sometimes you might have to rely on, you know, sometimes you might have a case of Stam. Usually, if you know, you ask your wife, like, when was the last time you used the pot? But Stam Kalim, we assume, if you really have no knowledge at all, we assume it's not Ben Yomo.
So now we're discussing the chila, which means after he cooks it, right?
Okay, yes. Now here's where I'm going to make it a little more complicated. Okay, ready for it to be more complicated? Why is this more complicated? We have a pretty good idea of what's going on here. For Sfardim, anything cooked in any pot is pariv l'chachila v'zehu. For Ashkenazim, well, if it's alu, it's pariv l'chachila. But if it's nisbashlu or nitzlu, then l'chachila we consider it fleishig or milchik. B'dieved it's pariv. But even l'chachila you can put it in a fleishig bowl and a milchik bowl, just not eat it with actual meat or milk. And if the pot was ein ben yomo, then it's mutter even l'chachila. Now Menachem confuses us here by bringing up the issue of, well, remember there are two different kinds of l'chachila. There was once it's a not bar not, what can you eat it with l'chachila, and there was Ligrom, can you make it not burn out in the first place, l'chachila, right? So the question, once you cook spaghetti in a fleishig pot, what can you do with it, l'chachila? And then there's the question of, can you cook it in a fleishig pot in the first place, l'chachila, if you know that you're going to mix it with milk? So like, when we are matter certain things, l'chachila, are we matter them only l'chachila once it's already not burn out? Or even to make it an apparnat in the first place, l'chachila. This is what confuses many people about this halacha. And we will try to sort it out the best we can. Okay, let me just think of how I'm going to sort this out the best we can.
talking about in general, or just the last case of nothing?
I'm talking about this case. And this case. Okay, here's a great question. What is mutter l'chachila? What is mutter l'chachila? Let's make a list of all the things that are mutter l'chachila. What is things that are mutter l'chachila? What's mutter l'chachila? So, one is l'chaber, everything. Two is, according to the Ramah, always mutter l'chachila. Three is, according to the Ramah, nisbashlu v'nitzlu lechol bikli chalavi b'li chalav. Right?
That's motul chachila. I can't lechachila eat it with milk, but I can eat it in a milk kli.
What else did the Ramah say? The truth is that that's not the order of the Ramah. The order of the Ramah is, first you mention this, then this, then this. If you start with Rivan, then you automatically have to say Olu first. What's the fourth kli of the Ramah? Says the Ramah. Nitzlu v'nitzbashlu the kli she'eno v'yomo is mutter to use kutach lechachila.
What kind of lechachila do we mean?
Do we mean, right, remember the two kinds of lechachila. Once it's a not bar not, that kind of lechachila, or ligrom not bar not lechachila.
Do we mean to eat it once it was already cooked in a fleishik pot? Or do we mean even to cook in a fleishik pot lechachila?
So, obviously, they're all mutter at least. This, by the way, is a very big question, right, in modern day kitchens. Clearly, what they're all saying at least is, once you cooked in a fleishik pot, the Machaber says mutter eat with milk lechachila. The Ramah says all the mutter eat with milk lechachila. The Ramah says nitzel v'nisbashlo mutter to eat in a milchik bowl lechachila. The Ramah says if it was nitzel v'nisbashlo in Eidem and Yom HaFleishik Kli, mutter to eat with milk lechachila. Right?
Hakol, let's just add for a second. Lechol with cholav. Olu. Lechol with cholav.
Mutter lechol with cholav.
Right? So, the question is, are these cases even mutter to cook them in a fleishik pot in the first place knowing that this is going to happen? Or it's only once it's cooked in a fleishik pot? What about, like, the pre-lechachila? It's so hard to find the words for this. I like to call this word lechol lechachila and ligrom lechachila. Right? So, here,
in the first case, the Beis Yosef is mashma, there's mutter even ligrom, but the Shach and the Taz say, no, for sure, usher ligrom. Actually, here also, says the Shach and the Taz, usher ligrom. Oh, sorry, that's not what I meant. Say the Shach and the Taz, usher ligrom. Meaning, the actual case in the Gemara, right, which according to Mechaber means anything in meat equipment to eat with kutach. And according to the Ramah means all the wind meat equipment to eat with kutach. The Shach and Taz say it's only mutter to eat lechachila. You can't be goring lechachila. But what about this case? What if you have an Ein Ben Yomo pot? This is my simchal yom in our kitchens. I have a fleishik pot. I want to make spaghetti to eat with cheese. I have an Ein Ben Yomo fleishik pot. I know that once I cook the spaghetti in the Ein Ben Yomo fleishik pot, I can eat it with cheese. But can I cook it in the fleishik pot in the first place to eat it with cheese?
So mashmos hagra says the gra in sifkatan yod v'chein m'hoyev v'chulei ein ben yomo chiyah gav nafshel eser mutter. Even a treif kli, if it's ein ben yomo, it's mutter to eat what you cook there. K'mal shekas v'betos zavod zara ayin vav man aleph dim rasul mikan k'mal shekas v'sham la meches v'veiz. He says the af bikdeira even to use the pot. Ein eser lechadchila she'ein bas yomo el mishum gzeira otzav bas yomo mashein kein kan da af ben yomo mutter b'tina.
What does the gross sound like? I say sound like, he's not explicit. What does the gross sound like? He says even to use the pot in the first place. Why can't we, anyone know why we can't cook in an Ein Ben Yomo pot all the time? Why can't I use an Ein Ben Yomo treif pot? Gzeira atu Ben Yomo, because it might be Ben Yomo and only treif. Hold on. Over here, what if I ligram lechachila, use the Ein Ben Yomo fleishik pot? What's the gzeira? If I use the Ein Ben Yomo fleishik pot, I might use the Ben Yomo fleishik pot and cook spaghetti and eat it with milk. And if I did, then it would be mutter b'dieved. What's the rule? We don't make gzeira atu something which is going to be mutter b'dieved if you do it anyway. We only make gzeira atu treif. We don't make gzeira atu non-mahuder. Right? And you're right. If I use a minyan fleishik pot and I'm an Ashkenazi, it wouldn't be mahuder lechachila to eat it with cheese. But it wouldn't be treif. So mashmos hagra of the gra is that in this case, it's mutter even ligrom lechachila. Why? Because it's two heterim. Ein ben yomo and naparnat. Ein ben yomo is only asr atu ben yomo. But over here, even ben yomo is really mutter. So why would they ask for Ein Ben Yomo? It's Mashma the Grutz, even Mutter Ligro Lechachila. I know there's a minority of people nowadays who pass it that way. However, the Minhag Olam is not that way, because the Chachmas Adam says explicitly, I'll give you the Maramakum. It is, I apologize, 1 second. Mem Chesbeis, called Mem Chesbin Beis, says no, also Ligum Lechachila. Even though you have two Eterim here, it's Einu Ben Yomo, which knows not Lechgam, and it's not Barnat, Ligum Lechachila still Usser. The minig of the poskim, and I think the minig of the housewives as well, is like the Chachmas Adam on this. To the best of my knowledge, I mean, this is what all the Maimonides Sfarim say, and I think this is what all the mommies do also. To the best of my knowledge, if you told your mother, you haven't used this fleishig pot since Sunday, so can you cook me some spaghetti in this pot and then I'll melt cheese on it in the microwave and eat it? She would say, you know, what are you, crazy? Have you lost your mind? Like, that's treif. And even if you told her it wasn't treif, she'd say, it's not treif, but we don't do it. So the minhag is clearly like the Chachmas Adam. Okay, b'shas hadchak, is there mokum l'hakel? The Chachmas Adam says, you can make a b'shas hadchak if you can't even borrow a pot. All right, maybe if you could borrow a pot, but you're uncomfortable borrowing a pot, the Seder. But the general rule is, like the Chachmas Adam, so even if you have an Ein Ben Yomo pot, if you're going to eat your spaghetti with cheese, pick a melchit pot. If you're going to eat your spaghetti with meat sauce, pick a fleishig pot. Don't cook in a fleishig pot to eat it with cheese, even if it's Ein Ben Yomo. We follow the Chachmas Adam.
That's only Ashkenazim, right?
What?
It's only for Ashkenazim.
I think a lot of Sfardim are makbid on this also. I haven't checked.
Why?
Because when it comes to ligrum lechachila, a lot of Sfardim are saying we're just as makbid as Ashkenazim. Okay, last case we have to figure out is, what about lecho b'kli shalahem? Meaning, what if I'm cooking something, let's say I know I'm not going to mix it with milk or meat. I know I'm not going to mix it with milk or meat. Let's say I'm cooking something that, I don't know, I want to cook spaghetti. And what am I going to do? I'm going to take it to work, and there I have a microwave, and I have Tupperware, and I have maybe a spoon, whatever. I only have milk and kalim, but I'm not planning to eat it with milk. I'm just planning to eat it with milk and kalim. Or let's say I have a soup, right? I want to cook vegetable soup. Do most of us put milk in our vegetable soups? Like an onion soup, you're supposed to melt cheese, right? You don't put cheese in vegetable soup, usually.
In orange soup.
You do?
Put chive in it, like a soup, bit of vegetable.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's say in my house. In my house, we never put anything milchic in vegetable soup. We don't dip milchic, I mean, what would you dip? Like cheese danishes? We don't dip cheese danishes into our vegetable soup. We don't add cheese to our vegetable soup. We don't put sour cream in our vegetable soup. We never put milk in our vegetable soup. So let's say I'm going to have a milchic meal. What does a milchic meal mean? I mean, it doesn't mean I'm going to have my vegetable soup and then put the lasagna in my vegetable soup. It means I'm going to have the vegetable soup in a milchic bowl with a milchic spoon, and then put them in the sink, and then bring out the lasagna, right? You never mix milk in. So can I cook the vegetable soup in a fleishig pot? Ligrom lechachilo. If I already cooked vegetable soup in a fleishig pot, then of course I can eat it in the milk and bowl. But can I cook the vegetable soup in a fleishig pot in the first place? Ligrom lechachilo. I want vegetable soup for my milchic meal. I have a fleishig pot. Can I cook it in a fleishig pot? After all, I know I'm eating gorm naparat lechachilo, but I'm never going to mix it with milk. I'm just going to put it in a milk and bowl. So what's the din there? The Prima Gadim deals with this in a very peculiar formulation. Says the Prima Gadim in Mishvitzo Zahav, both Dalet and Hay, he deals with this. But he says, Le'inyan Dina, in Mishvitzo Zahav Dalet in the second paragraph. In Mutal Vashal Kli Cholev, Lahalo Soacharkach Kli Basar. Can I cook something in a milky pot? I'm not going to mix it with anything, just eat it in a fleshic bowl. Or in my case, cook in a fleshic pot to eat in a milky bowl. Yerah de usser, I think it seems usser. After drisha doik, let me say for a truma of teichos ashari. Even though the drisha was a doik to say for a truma that's mutter, usmak lomot seem to polikim b'kudat gufa, and the smak never explicitly argued. Va'ayin etc. Mikomak me'en lahachol elishari itzi da bach kosev that it's mutter, and the isra after arach paskin that he understood the isra after arach and the ramah paskin it's mutter. V'tzarch ian he's not so convinced, and then he says. A little later, he says that Amnam ha'pri chadash kasam istabr delosam mutter.
And the Beis Yosef said it's mutter, and the Arach Lashach said that it's mutter l'kuli alma. Basically, he just quotes every Achron who ever lived who says it's mutter. He says, but still, I think we should be machmir. Okay, after maybe for like Kavod Shabbos it's mutter, whatever. But l'maisa, the Prima Gadim quotes all the Achronim who are mutter, and he says usser. Okay. It's not 100% clear to me why. Meaning, it's not like the Prima Gadim just likes answering things randomly. He obviously had a good logical reason that he just thought was such a good logical reason that he wasn't impressed by the Prichadash and the Bach and the Drisha and v'chuli v'chuli. I'm not exactly sure what it is. The Higris Moshe in Yordeich El Gimel Simen Yud Os Beis says that we don't hold like this Prima Gadim. And Prima says, the Prima Gadim is a right to his opinion. But if you start by saying, I'm quoting you, 5, 6, 7 Achronim will all say it's mutter, and not one person in history ever said it was usser until me. Although he mentioned there's Rabbi Yerucham who might or might not think it's usser. Then we don't have to pass like the Prima Gadim. So this is a machlokes. The Prima Gadim says usser ligrom lechachila. However, Rav Moshe, where is it? I said Yoredeya. Kayla Gimel, Simen Yud, Os Beis, and all the Achronim say it's Mutter. We assume like the Igros Moshe. It doesn't come up a lot. I'm not claiming it comes up a lot, but if this would come up, you want to know, you know, just another classic example. I don't know, you're boiling water, you're going to make tea. And you have a milchik teacup. So you can boil water in a flagship pot, even to make tea in a milk and teacup. Again, we're Americans, not British here. We drink our tea without milk, just in a milk and teacup. So then we assume, like Rav Moshe, that's okay. Why is this an important thing for Rav Moshe to discuss? It doesn't come up all the time. It's an important thing for Rav Moshe it's an important thing for Rav Moshe to discuss because it seems like a very not so lemaisa detail. How often does it really come up, the Shaila? However, it's very important, Shaila, when it comes to halachas of sinks and dishwashers, etc. If you hold, you can use the same sink for milk and fleishik. How? Aren't you lechatchila being goreng that you're having a fleishik sink, which then you're going to wash milk and kalim in, based on not or not? Right? So Ramosh says, no problem. It's only also libram not or not lechatchila to mix with food. Not also ligrum napernat lechachila to mix with the kalim, and that's why this is a kedai topic for Moshe to discuss, as we will clarify.
Prima Gadim, it's chumah with even understand claiming Bach that he cannot appreciate.
Not sure, but he's assuming maybe you do iwer into them, etc. So there's still a bliya. But I'm not sure. Yesh lion. Okay. But lemaisa, we hold like Rav Moshe, so therefore, you don't have to worry what kind of kelim you're going to eat something with later. As long as you know you're not eating something with milk, it's perfectly fine to cook it in a fleishik pot. As long as you're not going to eat it with meat, it's perfectly fine to cook it in a milking pot, like Rav Moshe. Okay, hopefully that answered your question, Menachem. What else do we have to discuss in this si'if? Oh, I'll point out... I'll point out two other points, and then we're ready to go on. Number one is, I neglected one. Taz quotes a Marashal, actually, who disagrees with this heter. But no one's kosher for that Marashal. Marshall likes me very much in this simon for some reason. Nay, he disagrees even with the heter of Ben Yomo. No one's kosher to that Marshall. The other thing I want to point out is the shach of cutting hay. It's really not the mokum for this shach yet, but the shach here has a problem. It's really based on Sif Gimel. I'm just going to mention it. We're going to get to it in Sif Gimel. What did the Ramah say? The Ramah said that if you cook something in a fleishik pot, you're allowed to eat it in a milk of kalim. Right? Remember the Ramah said that? The shach's problem is this. He has a side problem. Here is your Kedera Bisarit. Here is your Parev soup.
what do? You're allowed to eat this parif soup in a ki'ara chalavit. Right? That's what Rambam says, right? You're allowed to eat the soup in a milchik bowl. Hold on a second, he said. If you pour from a fleshik bowl into a milchik bowl, maybe that's a problem. Why is that a problem? Because the soup is touching the fleshikli and the milchikli at the same time. And the Ramah in Sif Gimel will say that's usher. So I'm not getting into the svaras that's Sif Gimel, but the Ramah Taka says this is usher in Sif Gimel. He says you're not allowed to pour from a fleshikli into a milchikli or from a milchikli into a fleshikli. Because then the food is touching a milchikli and a fleshikli at the same time. So what does the Shach say? Shach says, this is not what the Ramah meant to permit. It can't be, because the Ramah is explicit later that this is Taka Usser. Why is this Usser? Because it's touching a milk and a fleshikli at the same time. That's like putting a milk and fleshikli together at the same time. That's Usser. That's like stirring a milchik bowl with a fleshik spoon at the same time. Rather, what did the Ramah mean? The Ramah must have meant Shalom al yidei Iroi. The Ramah meant, yes, you can eat in a milchik bowl, but not directly pouring into a milchik bowl. He meant you could pour it into a parav bowl and then into a milchik bowl, or you could take it with a parav ladle and then put it in a milchik bowl, or you could wait till it cools down, and then if you warm it up again in a milchik bowl. Okay, the Ramah meant Shalom, when the Ramah says you can eat in a milchik bowl, don't misunderstand, he didn't mean you could pour it straight into a milchik bowl. You're never allowed to pour straight from fleshik into milchik. He meant Shalom al yidei Iroi. You can eat in a milchik bowl. For example, you scoop it out with a pariv ladle and then put it in a milchik bowl. That's what he meant. Okay. Now comes the chumrah. Who's ready for chumras? You're ready for chumras. Excellent. Very good. Please, yes. It's important to keep up with the times. Ramah now has a tremendous chumrah. We have probably mentioned this chumrah, but this is the chumrah. Whatever Rabbi Miller said to me the other day, he had a good line when I was just sharing with him some of my text messages, SMSs, whatever you call them. He says, you know, until I became a rabbi, I never realized how common onions were. you know, think about your typical kitchen mishaps. Once in a while, you have simen sadi gimel, simen sadi beis, etc. You know, milk splashes on a pot of chicken soup. You accidentally stir your chicken soup with a milkshake. It's not most of the time what happens is, I cook something in a flesh, and then I put it with milk. I cook something in milk, and then I put it with flesh. That's most of the things that happen in kitchens. And what's the answer? The answer is, well, lechachila, it's very complicated. There's two levels of lechachila. But baby, I mean, everything's mutter. It doesn't matter what you cook, as long as you're dealing with para food. As long as you didn't put schnitzel on your milchik plate, and you didn't, you know, melt cheese onto your chicken soup, it's fine. It's all not burnt out. Everything's mutter b'dieved. Until the evil onion enters the picture. Until davar charif. Why? Because what happens in the continuation of this sugya on daf kuf yalef and beis, going, this is the part that goes on to kuf beis and aleph. Amra chesu hilchusa. What's the halacha? Not burnout is mutter or usser. Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, we know. Dagim shalom b'kara, mutter lo ochlim b'kotach. Not burnout is mutter. But the post-mortem got the details. Snom shechotchu b'sakin shechotchu b'basar, usser lo ochlo b'kotach. Ah, but a radish. The post-mortem say they must have had very sharp radishes in those days. Most post-mortem, I say. A radish, because the radishes we eat nowadays are not so sharp. What?
It's very sharp.
I guess it depends what kind of radishes you. Okay.
Radishes.
Okay, they must have had the kind of radishes. You know, when I go to chasnas, I have radishes that are very bland. They always put out radishes that are very bland. Probably. They taste like kohlrabi.
Probably cut week old.
Probably. Okay. But if you have good radishes, if you're a connoisseur of radishes, they're very sharp. So, great, excellent. So if you cut a radish with a fleshik knife, it's awesome to eat with kutach. V'hani mili tznon dagi v'kor v'bala. That's only tznon because it's charif, so it absorbs. Aval kishos garlu pesi v'achol. But if it's just a kishos, nowadays kishos means zucchini. In those days, it probably meant some sort of gourd. Same basic idea. You know, a non-charif food. You just scrape away where you cut it, and it's fine. It doesn't absorb. Meaning, The charif thing absorbs the taste for the knife. A non-charif thing doesn't. And we're talking about cold here. Oh, the Ramban is having it. Otherwise, let's leave that for now. Right? So, we're talking about cold food. If I caught a cucumber with a fleshic knife, then Maseda, worst comes to worst, if it was a dirty fleshic knife, and I got meat schmaltz on the cucumber, so I scrape off the meat schmaltz and I'm okay. But if I caught a snone, or an onion, or a garlic, or something horrific with a fleshic knife, then it becomes fleshic. Why? I understand, it says it absorbs because it's harif. Harif things have the power to absorb. Okay, shkoyach that it absorbed. But it's a not bar not, right? Isn't it a not bar not? When I cut a radish with a fleshic knife, it's a not bar not. So.
You have the time, though. The thing you said was kolosh. It's not kolosh.
Ah, so Rashi says two opinions here. Rashi says, his first day, he asked this question. Hilchach dadim sha'alu b'karim motelachlum kutach and amar deinos namam namar shalos namam bamini nosin tam the stam karim kanchos amishum and akar shalav mishum miyos aval lesakin. Why? What's wrong with the knife? What happened to nap or not? First answer Rashi, no chidushin. Lesakin pa'am shasham nunis karim shalav. Sometimes their bowls they used to keep clean. Remember I mentioned in the old days they used to keep knives dirty. I don't know why. You have to ask a story. In the old days, they used to keep knives dirty. So he says, "Sakin palm shishim nus karish alav the einu nicker." Often there will be schmaltz—that's meat fat—on the knife, congealed meat fat on the knife, and you won't notice it. Ah, shechote looks known when you cut the radish. Have you noticed in time? But when a mamish, it's a nose in time for a mamish. It's a first taste. Says Rashi. Ah, you know why the problem is if you cut the radish? Because the knife is dirty, and it's a first time. Okay, if it's a first time, then there's no chidushim here, right? Ah, because if you cut a cucumber with a dirty knife, all the schmaltz would stay on the surface. If you cut a davar charif with a dirty knife, it'll go in. That's what Rashi says at first. Seems to be his first answer. What is his first answer? There's no problem, no chidushim here. It's only talking about dirty knives. However, we postulate the second answer. It'll be important to remember that there's two answers. I'm not just telling you this for my own entertainment. But the ode, another answer. Because of the harifus of the tznon, what did the Gemara say? Harifus is bolea. Ah, not only is harifus bolea, harifus is super bolea. Harifus of a tznon absorbs more than half fish. The agam duch zakina polat zakina bolat tznon, because the duch zakina, the sakin is polate, the tznon is bolea. And what does Rashi say? Because the duch of sakina and the davar charif, it absorbs even more than a not bar not. It's stronger than a regular not bar not. It's considered a not rishon. It's a secondary transfer, but such a strong transfer that has harifus and duch of sakina counts like a first transfer. That's the chiddush of Rashi. Now, some people say this is where the Rivan got the idea that nitzlu nisbashlu was usher, because nitzel and spatula has to be at least as bad as cutting a radish with a knife. We don't assume that way. That's the chiddush of the second answer of Rashi. The chiddush of Rashi is duch and sakina plus harifus makes it like a tam rishon. Let's just illustrate this on the board. You can talk while I illustrate, Isaac.
Okay, so I don't understand how it's difficult to me because the davar charif is only coming into play after the not or not was accomplished.
No, that's not true.
Use the knife.
The knife is a knot.
The knife is clean, right?
A clean knife. That's the chiddush of the second answer, Rashi.
You cut the zucchini.
Even a clean knife.
You cut the zucchini, and then afterwards...
If you cut the zucchini with a clean knife, the zucchini is fine. No problem.
So not by knot is done.
Forget about it. If you cut the zucchini with a clean knife, forget about not by knot. Okay. There's nothing at all. It's cold touching cold. Right, remember, duch and sakina, cold touching cold, doesn't do anything. Over here, what's the special superpower? This is the special superpower of harifus plus duch de sakina. Now, please do not ask me to explain based on physics how this works. The whole meaning of harifus and halacha, I don't understand the physics of.
Just explaining the example, I don't understand what's going on practically.
I have a fleshic knife.
Yeah.
And I caught an onion with it.
Oh, not zucchini.
No, onion. So what happens? This is.
And then I eat that with zucchini?
No, no zucchini. No, they're two separate cases. If I cut zucchini with a knife, it's okay. Right? What if I cut? Let's go back. We already know from Simon Sadigdalid what happens. Maybe it's even a test question if I cut zucchini with a fleshic knife. Remember, if I cut zucchini with a fleshic knife, we know it partially. If it was a clean fleshic knife, then there's no bleed at all. Cold knife, cold zucchini, it's mutter. If it was a dirty fleshic knife, then I have to scrape off the edge of the zucchini to get off the schmaltz. But there's no bleed. Here we're talking about if I cut it snown, this still counts as a not rishon. Why? Duchr sahin and harifas gets at all the taste from the knife as if more so than cooking. Now again, do I understand physics why duchr sahin and harifas gets more taste out of the knife than cooking? No. But that's what Rashi says.
Harifas and bishul doesn't own dafka duchr
sahin. So now says the Rama based on Rashi. Good. V'chol zek shemachal einu dover charif. Avolim haya dover charif. If you cook the dover charif, you don't shebishlu dvarim charif mekli shel basar, like you cooked dvarim charif in a fleshik kli. I feel like you fried onions in a fleshik pan, maisim chol yom. Afilu einu ben yomo, even if it's not ben yomo. O shedachu tavlu manish shel basar, or you crush spices. Spices are very sharp in a fleshik mortar. That's usher even b'di'evid. That's usher l'gamrei. Even b'di'evid. Adi, because she should make a busher b'luvahem. It's usher b'di'evid unless you have 60 k'neged, the amount of meat that's in the onions. Remember, we had that whole discussion. If you cut onions with a fleshy knife and cook them in milk, you only need shishim k'neged the knife blade. But it's usher even b'di'evid. Says the Ramah, that... He adds two things. What does he add? What does the Rama add here? He adds two things. The second of which we'll see in Siman Sadivav, the first of which we won't. Okay, let's see if we can finish this si'if and still make it home in time for me to light the Chanukah candles. I think we can do it. What if you have Basar Kedera Dover Charif? He says the same chumra applies. What does he say? This is a knot. Here it has not duchir sakina, but harifus plus ash, right? Plus fire. Says the Rama, it's not obvious in the Gemara. Harifus and fire has the same power as harifus and duchir sakina, and therefore this is a knot. If it's a knot, that means we're not talking about isurim lechachila. It's a knot, even bidi eved. If you mix a nausing tam rishon of basar with milk, it's treif even b'di'evid. The only way to save it if you mess up b'di'evid would be if it was batal b'shishim, which you better hope it is. Meaning if I take a small knife and cut a lot of onions and then mix them in a cooking in a big pot of milk, they'll probably be shishim k'neged the knife blade, I'll be lucky. But listen to this theoretical case. If I fry onions in a fleshik pan, now, there's a lot of meat in the onions, the big pan, not a knife, right? I fry onions in a fleshy pan, and then I cook those onions into a milk and quiche. It's treif. Even b'di'evid, because the quiche doesn't have 60 k'neged the tam basar in the onions. No, we have to measure as if the whole pan was in the onions. And the onions are always more than a 60th of a quiche in normal quiches. Then it's mamish treif, even b'di'evid. That's why onions are the bane of all rabbis' existence. Because they're the only things that end up being traced to the oven in real life shilas.
So it's not considered par. We can't have it considered.
No, that was right. You keep it eager and pay Zion. You still don't have to wait 6 hours.
You don't have to.
Even after a dover charif.
You do not have to wait 6 hours.
Right. Don't have to wait 6 hours. 6 hours is different because even though it's fleshing, it's not going to stick in your mouth.
Okay, the only difference is that the time's not going to stay in your mouth.
The time's not going to stay in your mouth. But, that's a good point. But you don't have to wait 6 hours afterwards.
Can you repeat the case one more time when
I'm fry onions in a fleshik pan. Now those onions become fleshik, not just chumers l'chachil of the Ramah and Rivans and stuff like that. Based on the Rashi, it's mamish and not basar. Mamish me'ikar hadin bisari, says the Ramah. It's bisari me'ikar hadin. If it's bisari me'ikar hadin, if I then cook it in a quiche, my whole quiche is treif, and the pan where I cook the quiche is also treif.
The only way it would be mutter is if there's bitl b'shishim against the meat and the onions. But that's, in this particular example, when I fry onions in a fleshing pan, you have to assume the whole onions get filled with meat because it's a big pan. And the onions are always more than a 60th of a quiche, and the quiche is treif. I have to throw my quiche in the garbage and pasture the pan I cook the quiche in. It's very chavar. Very chavar. Now, what's the second chumrah of the Ramah here? And this is what's the real killer. After all, I mean, we just read the Ramah, so you're not going to say this. You'll say, but fine, most of our killim are not ben yomo anyway. No, the Ramah says the second chumrah that we haven't seen yet in the poskim, because it's brought down by the Beis Yosef, and it's discussed at length by the Beis Yosef in Sanivad, which we're almost up to. What's the chiddush? Says, this has two special powers. Number one, it overrides not bar not. You think it's a weak transfer? No, the harifas brings it a strong transfer. Number two, it overrides eino ben yomo. Even if it was an eino ben yomo pan, which has a bad taste, a horrid thing turns a bad taste into a good taste. It turns a tam lichgam into a tam lishvach. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, if I have a frying pan I used to fry meat 3 days ago, it has a bad meat taste, and I fry onions, the onions make the meat taste good, and then the good meat taste makes the onions flashy. That's the tremendous power of harifas. That's why Dvarim Harifim are so evil.
How?
Because Dvarim Harifim sweeten and rehabilitate old stale food. Everyone knows, anyone here ever work in a restaurant? What do you do if your food spoils? Put a lot of salt and spices and you serve it, right? Right, no one ever worked in the kitchen? Oh, you just don't want to tell Lashon Hara if I know where you work. Okay, I once had a guy in the shir who worked in an establishment, in an upscale establishment in a certain town in Bergen County, and says, yeah, everyone knows. If the food spoils, you just put a lot of Dvar Harifim and then it's okay. So I don't know how that works. I don't know if that's connected or not. But we have a Masora, Misafik, that Dvar Harif rehabilitates. So that's why onions are so bad. If I fry onions, even though it's not for not, we consider it fleishik. Even though it's eight notes in time lefgam, we consider it leshvach. And therefore, these are mamish fleishik, even b'di'evit. That's the chiddush of this Ramah.
Even if it's notes in time lefgam, you're saying it resuscitates
Yes, it goes back. First, it goes back into the pan and makes the taste of the pan good. And then, basically, the tam basar comes out of the pan is bad. But the onion makes it good, and then once the good meat tastes, it makes the onions fleshy.
Now, okay, you have to address briefly where this whole concept comes from, because it must be spoken about.
Oh yeah, of course, it comes from Gemara, Nevo Dezer, Daf Lama Tess. We're just not up to that yet till 7 Tzadi Vav. Okay, we just have time to learn one more Pesachei Tshuva before I have to go like Hanukkah candles. Isaac?
I just want to clarify something. So the tam is going into the pot, and then bringing out the tam of the gum to eat dairy?
Yes.
But why would it do that?
It's more like this. Let's say you fry onions in a fleshy pot. There's some bad meat taste that comes out of the pot into the onions. As it's leaving the pot going to the onions turn into a good meat taste, and then a good meat taste goes into the onions. It's a special power. Okay. However, the one kula here is the Makom Shmuel, or whoever is quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva of Katan Dalid, says, you know what? Our whole Masora of Dvar Harif was only when there was no water in between the kli and the food. It's like Rashi's case. You directly touched the tznon with your knife. What if you cooked in water? If you cooked in water, maybe the water dilutes it enough, that it's still an up or not. So therefore, he's Masora. Maybe in Nitzlu and Nechtichu, we have this Chumrah. So this is, what if you have cut, fry, let's assume frying, bake, you know, broil, then it's Usser. What if you cook in water?
maybe we could say, even though Dabar Charav draws out a stronger taste, not if it's going through water it gets weakened. The Makom Shmuel here says, if you cook in water, he's Masopik. He's not sure. I think it's a Makom Shmuel. He says, I'm sure it's Makom Shmuel. He says in a... it's an interesting question. Let's assume that's the case. He says, if you cook in water... I really have to go soon. But... if you cook in water, then, says the Makom Shmuel, Yesh Lahakel, if you're cooking, but not Lagamri, says Yesh Lahakel, Be Safek Harif. If you have something which is a Safek, whether it's Harif, we'll see a machlokes between the Machaber and the Taz in Siman Sadi Vav. If it's you're not sure if it's Harif, then you can be makel if you cooked it. Let's say it's a lemon. You're not sure if a lemon is really as harif as an onion or not. Then you can be makel if you cooked it. Lemais, that's not such a big kula. Let's just... this Pesach Tshuva also is a fascinating machlokes. The all these chumras of Dabar Charav, he says, is this Doraisa or Drabanan? He quotes one man Dabar Drabanan, then he decides, no, it's obviously Doraisa. These are based on scientific facts. Scientific facts are Doraisa. This is fact, not gzeiros. It's fact. Chazal determined certain facts that we might not understand. But these are facts, and therefore he treats it as Doraisa. Again, I'm not sure I fully understand it. Lemaisa, let's just finish the Ramah. Says the Ramah, if you put a little spices in something, you have soup, and you add salt and pepper, that doesn't make you a Dabar Charav. Rakim kulo Dabar Charav, only if it's all Charav. Verubo kekulo, or if it's mostly Charav. The Taz in Siman Kuf Gimel says, mostly Charav doesn't mean 51% Charav. It means it mostly tastes Charav. Meaning, if you put so much pepper that it mostly tastes spicy, then that's considered mostly Charif or Dabar Charif. But what he means is that normal foods that we spice, that doesn't make it Charif. It's only Charif, and it has so much spices that it tastes more spicy than anything else, like it's hot, you burn your mouth spicy, that's Charif. But just because you add pepper and salt to something doesn't make it a Dabar Charif.
It's interesting, because what you're going on is not lettuce that you will eat, pasta. That's all you can eat with the yolk. You
soak
it in water a couple of hours, because otherwise you couldn't eat it. That's
a lot
of the same.
Yes, we'll get to that. Okay, anyway, I'll wish everyone a Freilich and Chanukah, and more importantly, a Lichtig and Chanukah. And I'll see you in Eretz Hashem tomorrow. Remember, is today Tuesday?
No.
What?
No, tonight.
Oh, I'll see you tonight. Good point.
What time?